The following message is from New Life Gillette series, Phone Zombies. This week, Pastor Paul presents part two of this series.
Did you enjoy the pancakes this morning? Yeah? Did you pound some? Marty, how many did you pound? About four or five? Okay, lots of sausage. My wife told me to show you, I wore my bacon socks today. I didn't have sausage socks, but I did have bacon ones. So just to celebrate with you, and what an exciting morning. And I want to invite you back next week because we're having another exciting morning here at New Life next week. Next week is Baptism Sunday. And I know there's a few of you in the room here that this is going to be your special day of celebration. We're going to have the tub up here. We're going to be baptizing people and celebrating the lives that they have, the decisions they made to follow Christ. And that they're now wanting to let all of you know of that journey that they are on. So come back, bring a friend, and let's celebrate next week with all of these lives, these celebrations that we are having. We are in the second week of this new sermon series that we are so excited about. It's called Phone Zombies, and there's probably a few of your kids that wanted to come in and join you because talking about zombies. Zombies are cool, right? And this is nothing new. Zombies have been celebrating. We've been celebrating zombies for a while, haven't we? Yeah, zombies are exciting, aren't they? But you know, think about it, though. I don't think zombies are something we should be aspiring to become, right? Because you think about what a zombie is. They're someone who died and kind of came back to life. Not completely. They're not living their best life. They're partly alive, partly not alive. And so when we're talking about phone zombies, we're talking about this understanding that maybe there are things that distract us from living our best life, our abundant life that God has available to us. So, you know, as we're talking about technology and some of the habits that we get into with technology, I want to take us back a little bit to realize that this just didn't happen all of a sudden. This has been a journey of habits that we've been forming. And I'm gonna do a little show and tell. Some of you might know what this is. As I was a little kid, we had one of these. What is it? Tray table. And where do we sit and watch it? In front of the TV, yeah. Now you think about the habits that we used to have way back in the day when we used to sit around the dining room table or the kitchen table, and we used to have a meal together and build relationships and listen to each other's day. But all of a sudden, when TV came around, we created these so that we could create new habits. And with these new habits, we took this table. Now we sit in the lazy boys or in the couches and we watch the TV and we shh to each other. Because instead of building relationships around the table like we used to, we are now more concerned about the relationships that we have with the people in front of us on the TV. Now, TV is not evil in and of itself, but could it be that some of the habits that we've created, replacing other habits, could it be that that's changed our lives a little bit and taken maybe possibly something that's used to be better and replaced it with something not quite as good? And we're talking about habits, and we all have habits, don't we? We, you know, some of the habits we don't even think about, and they show up in our lives, and that can be good because habits, some of our habits are really good, but some of our habits keep us from the best life that God has available to us. And so as we think about these habits, though, you know, we don't want to get a little crazy here and become, you know, too legalistic about these things. We have a disclaimer that we want to share with you regularly during this sermon series. And it goes like this. God loves us unconditionally. You don't have to do anything to get God's love. He loves you. But bad habits won't make him love us less. And good habits won't make him love us more. God gives us spiritual disciplines, though, to make our lives better and to make us better at life. It's a gift that God shares with us. And so we're going to be looking at then some of these spiritual disciplines, these habits that help us grow in our relationship with God, and so that we can better maybe understand a better life that God has available to us. Last week, Pastor Mike started the journey off and he helped us look at Bible reading and how powerfully important is it our walk with God to grow in that relationship. Today, we're looking at another one of those great spiritual disciplines, those methods that God gives to us to be able to grow in our faith with him. Today, I know Richard said we don't talk much about prayer in his video, but today we're going to talk about prayer because it's such a powerful way that we can connect with God and grow in our relationship with God. So I think most of us here, even if you're not a Christian in the room, most of us here have a general idea of what prayer is. It's that gift that God gives to us, the ability that we can pull alongside of the creator of the world, have a conversation with him, listen to him, spend time with him, build a relationship with him. And Paul was one of those early church leaders that knew the power of prayer. He writes this to the church in Thessalonica, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Paul knew the power of prayer. He wasn't the only one. James, the brother of Jesus, he wrote this in his book. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And any of the early church leaders in their connection with Jesus, that Jesus taught them that prayer is such an important thing. So I think all of us generally have an idea of what prayer is, and some of us spend time in prayer to some degree, but are there things in life potentially that can distract us from the best prayer life that we could have? For instance, there are these things called notifications. You ever hear, you know what notifications are? I think we all know. As soon as I mentioned the word notification, some of you just started twitching, wanting to check your phone, wanting to see, is there anything on there? Because some of you, if there's a red dot on your phone, oh my, you struggle with that. All these notifications that are out there. And then there's some of us, we don't care how many red dots are on our phone. It's just not a big deal to us. But notifications, we know what those are. They distract us. They take our attention. And to prove it, I'm going to give you a little test today. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have my tech guys back here. They're going to share some sounds of different notifications, and it's your job to tell me what is that sound, the notification of. Think we can do this? All right, let's give it a try. Here's notification number one. What is it? Email. Very good. That's Gmail. Yeah. Some of you don't use Gmail or email as much as you used to. It's kind of scary how it's just going away slowly, but that's Gmail. Let's see what number two is. That's not your wife, Marty. It well might be, but it's a notification. It's Twitter, yeah. How many of you tweet here in Gillette? There's a few of you out there that do some tweeting out there. That's Twitter. All right, here's notification number three. That's you sports fans out there. You know that one. I saw a few wives look at their husbands all of a sudden. That one must go off in your household once in a while. Yeah. All right. So that's ESPN. Here's the fourth one. Teenagers? Snapchat. Many of them up there know that. A couple of you out here knew what Snapchat was. Yeah, that's the Snapchat notification. All right. Here we got a couple more. Number five. Facebook Messenger, that's right. Yeah, we know that one. All right, there's one left. Marty, pay attention.
Your wife is calling. Your wife is calling.
Oh, the guys are pulling out their phone. Really?
Is calling.
I thought I was sitting right next to her. You know, we have all of these notifications in our life, and they go off, and they can distract us, can't they? They can grab our attention, and, you know, for many of us, these notifications, they guide our life to some degree. When they're going off, when they're announcing to us that there's something there, we feel this urge to have to check it out. We feel the need to get into it and look over it. And you know why that's part of it? Because this is what God created us for, community and for relationships. It goes all the way back to Genesis, where God says, I created man. This is not good. We need another one, because man was created. We are all created for community and for relationships. And so we find those in this community. Now, the problem that we run into, though, is sometimes this community affects other community, because this is where we used to have our community, with relationships in front of us and with the relationship with God. But for some of us, we allowed this to cause some problems with these other relationships. I mean, how often have we experienced it when you're having a conversation with somebody and one of those notifications buzzes or goes off, and all of a sudden they say to you, just a second, and they go into this community instead of paying attention to the community that's in front of them. But it doesn't just affect this community, but it also distracts us sometimes from this relationship. That sometimes we get so consumed with the notifications that are telling us about this community in cyberspace that we miss out on the potential for the deeper opportunities to get into a relationship with God through that gift that we just talked about called prayer. So we're going to spend some time here then trying to figure out, maybe is there something that we can do with our habits to potentially, if it's important to us that this relationship's important, maybe can we change some habits to maybe allow some better opportunity for prayer? But first, we want to talk about the why. Why should we consider replacing habits connected to notifications with habits of prayer? And the best way to do this is to talk to the one who knows best, and that is Jesus. Jesus is going to help us understand a little bit of the why. Now, you might think, wait a second, Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago. He's God. He created the ability for us to do this. I think Jesus knows about this. And so what did he write 2,000 years ago into the Gospels, talking with the disciples, that can help us today to better understand how to deal with this and our habits with this so that we can grow in our prayer life? Let's see what he says to the disciples. It's in John chapter 15, where Jesus is having a conversation with them right before he's going to go back up into heaven, helping them to know how to stay connected. And he says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more fruit. So Jesus starts sharing this imagery of us being branches connected to him being the vine as we give our lives to Christ. And if we do that, if we get connected to Jesus, then he tells us that he's going to start producing amazing godly Jesus fruit in us. Paul talked about this in Galatians chapter 5 when he had this big list: love, joy, peace, patience, and the list goes on of these tremendous attributes of God that he wants to pour into our lives. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Jesus continues, though. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce these good attributes of Jesus' fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. So Jesus begins to share this imagery of what happens if we get distracted. What happens if all of a sudden there are things, there are habits in life that keep us from being connected to Jesus? What might that cause in our lives but being severed? I want you to see this video. It's Louis C.K. He's a comedian. He's on the Conan O'Brien show. He's not doing a Bible study, but yet I want you to listen to what he shares about this possibly being severed from something better. Check this out.
You know, I think these things are toxic. I don't, especially for kids. It's just this thing. It's bad. And right. they don't look at people when they talk to them, and they don't build the empathy. You know, kids are mean, and it's because they're trying it out. They look at a kid and they go, you're fat. And then they see the kid's face scrunch up and they go, ooh, that doesn't feel good to make a person do that. Right. But they got to start with doing the mean thing. But when they write you're fat, then they just go, that was fun. I like that.
So that tasted good.
Yeah, exactly. You need to build an ability to just be yourself and not be doing something. That's what the phones are taking away.
Yes.
Is the ability to just sit there like this. That's being a person, right?
Yes.
No one can, you gotta check. Because, you know, underneath everything in your life, there's that thing, that empty, forever empty. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And sometimes when things clear away, you're not watching it, you're in your car, and you start going, oh, no, here it comes. that I am alone, like it starts to visit on you. You know, just the sadness.
Yes.
Life is tremendously sad just by, you know, being in it. And so you're driving, and then you go, that's why we text and drive. I look around, pretty much 100% of people driving are texting.
Yes.
And they're killing, everybody's murdering each other with their cars.
Yes.
But people are willing to risk taking a life and ruining their own because they don't want to be alone for a second because it's so hard. I was in my car one time, and a Bruce Springsteen song comes on, and it gave me kind of like a fall back to school depression feeling. It made me really sad.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, I'm getting sad. I've got to get the phone and write hi to like 50 people. And then I said, you know what? Don't. Just be sad. Just let the sadness stand in the way of it and let it hit you like a truck. And I let it come and Bruce, and I just started to feel, oh my. And I pulled over and I just cried. And it was beautiful. It was like this beautiful, it's just this sadness is poetic. You're lucky to live sad moments. And then I had happy feelings because when you let yourself feel sad,
yes.
Your body has like antibodies. It has happiness that comes.
Rushing in
to meet the sadness. So I was grateful to feel sad. And then I met it with true, profound happiness. It was such a trip, you know? And the thing is, because we don't want that first bit of sad,
yeah.
You never feel completely sad or completely happy.
Right.
You just feel kind of satisfied with your product.
Yes.
And then you die.
It's amazing, isn't it? How truthful it is. You know, we get this understanding of that severing. That separation and how that whole can begin to be there. And Jesus wasn't done talking about this. We go on. Yes, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and burned. Louis knew what he was talking about. Jesus presents this imagery of what our lives can feel like when we get so distracted with things in life that keeps us from being connected to the vine. We've experienced some of that. Some of you have talked to me about things like this where you are feeling anxious, depressed, lost, alone, hopeless, wondering, is there a purpose for me in life? It's that withering picture. It's zombie-like that we feel, where's the life? And we get there, as Jesus says, we wither because we are allowing ourselves to be distracted and separated from the vine, from being deeply connected with Jesus. But the good news, Jesus, he's not done. He switches it. And he says, but let me tell you, let me create a list for you of why you should be so intentional of connecting with me in prayer on a regular basis. He says this. He said, but if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask me for anything that you want and it will be granted you. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings great glory to my Father. You see the lists of good things that Jesus starts to present to us to help us know why we should be intentional in our prayer? Number one, he said, you will pray within the will of God. Because the more you're connected to the vine, the more you're going to know God's heart. And the more you know God's heart, the more you're going to pray in a way that God's going to be able to answer you because you already know his heart and how to pray. And it's just become cyclical. Number two, lots of that good, tasty Jesus fruit, the love and the joy and the patience, those are big things that's going to continue to grow in your life. Number three, he said, the Father will beam with joy. As a parent, I get that image. I mean, I love those moments when my kids are doing something that I want them to do, and it's the natural reaction. I just beam for joy. You get that, don't you? You've been there. That's the Father when we are intentionally taking that gift of prayer and using it to connect with God, man, that's just, he beams with joy. Jesus continues to build the list. He says, I have loved you even as the Father loved me. Remain in my love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Number four, joy. More and more overflowing joy in your life. Countering, it's the opposite of what that thing I talked about earlier, of that hole in our life, that anxiousness, that loneliness, that brokenness. Jesus builds this list of all of these good reasons of why we should consider potentially figuring out how can we get rid of some of the distractions, those habits of life that keep us from intentionally growing in our prayer life. Now, Jesus, he doesn't want to grow our prayer life just to, you know how busy we are. He doesn't want to just give us prayer life to cause one extra thing to be in our lives. That's not the purpose. And it's not so he can control us either. But God wants us to have a better prayer life because he loves us. And he longs to have a relationship with us. And he wants to collaborate with us on this journey of life, to walk with us, to help us to get to that better life and knowing how to be better. But the other reason of the why that we should consider praying a little bit is because if we're Christians, and I know many of you, most of you in the room are Christians, well, if we're a Christian, you know what that means, don't you? It means a follower of Christ. And if you read any of the Gospels where Jesus shows his story, what do we see him doing? But many, 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 many times we find Jesus stepping aside from the distractions to pray. Like in Mark chapter 1, check out the story. That evening after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. Can you see it happening? I mean, we're talking not a big place like Gillette, but maybe like Hewlett or Moorcroft. The whole town got together because of all the excitement that was going on. I mean, Aunt Susie, her gout, it's healed. And cousin Tony, he had that mangled arm from the farming accident. All of a sudden, he's able to use it now. And Joe the barber, he was bipolar. Not anymore. Can you imagine the excitement, the uproar in that community? Can you imagine how quickly they grabbed their phones and started tweeting and snapping and texting and posting because of all the excitement? I mean, they just wanted to let everybody else know of the joy that they were having in that moment. But as the evening came to a close, and after all their posts and snaps went out, as they were heading off to bed, looking forward to the next morning to see how many likes and loves they got and how many people responded. And Jesus had a different plan in mind. After all the excitement and joy, instead of doing any posting or anything, he had a plan. And this is what his plan was. Before the daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. And the key word here is isolated. It's an imagery of getting to some place that is quiet, where there are no distractions, so that he could be intentional in that relationship with his Father. Jesus knew the exciting things that were going on in the town. He knew what all the hoopla was and the excitement. He knew what they were going to be wanting to do, but Jesus knew the best thing to do was to get away and to refocus for the day in front of him. What was everybody else wanting to do? Well, let's see what the disciples were about. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus, they're all wanting to see what's going to be next. They want more excitement, more fun. Let's get going, Jesus. They're wondering why you're not checking your notifications. But here's the deal. When there were other things, maybe fun things, exciting things that Jesus could have been doing, he chose the best thing to do. And because he chose that best thing, able to refocus and get focused on what was most important, which was his relationship with his Father, he was able to add to the list the list of why? He says this. He says, but Jesus replied, we must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That's why I came. You see what Jesus was able to do? He was able to add to her list, you will live with purpose, Jesus says. He was able to focus and make sure he knew what he was about, which was not just coming back to this town and staying there and keeping all the fun and the excitement going, but he was about making sure that his gospel message was going to get out to as many people that he could. When we like learn from Jesus to pray, we stay focused on the purpose that God has for us in life to be able to live the best life. Because here's what Jesus did. The good habits or the spiritual disciplines of Jesus allowed him to live the best life possible. You know, we all have that possibility to learn from Jesus and to realize that we have a lot of distractions in life. We have a lot of things that can take us away, and we have the freedom to do all of those things. But what if we chose to do something different with our freedom? You know, Pastor Mike and I have been reading a book to get ready for this sermon series, and one of the things that we heard from this author was this. It's the common rule. It says, what if the good life doesn't come from having the ability to do what we want, but from having, let's go back one, but from having the ability to do what we were made for? What if true freedom comes from choosing the right limitations, not avoiding those limitations? You get it? I mean, freedom's a good thing. We all love our freedom, don't we? I mean, I have the freedom to put as many notifications on here that I want, and I have the freedom to let them go off anytime I want to, and I have the freedom to check out what all of you are doing on Facebook or Snapchat, wherever we are connected. I have the freedom to see what you had for supper if you're going to post it, and I have the freedom to respond to it and like it. But what if all of those freedoms that I have the opportunity to be involved in keep me from the better life? But what instead if I could set up some boundaries, some limitations, some boundaries that allowed me to not say no completely to this, but instead set those boundaries in place to allow me to have the time available to focus on the most important thing? Because you see, the good habit of getting away from distractions to pray allowed Jesus to live the best life possible. What about you? What could this look like for you? To be able to figure out how can those boundaries be put up into place to make sure that you don't miss out on the best thing in life. The opportunity to stay connected to the vine. The opportunity to say, I'm going to spend time in prayer with Jesus. Well, let me tell you a little bit of what it looks like for me, but I want to tell you, I don't want you to do my way. Because you're not the same as me. My wife does things different to me because I don't know if you know this or not. She's drastically different than I am. But for me, one of the things, and this, let me tell you, I had to replace a habit because I used to, when I used to get up first thing in the morning, and I'm an early bird, I get up before everybody else, and I get up early, and I used to jump on my computer to check out the news of the day. What's going on in Russia and Ukraine, what's going on in the sports scene. But the problem I ran into, because I did that because I thought, I'm not fully awake yet, so I don't want to pray yet, because I want the best for God. And I use that as an excuse to be able to get into my news. But the problem is sometimes I would get into this news story, which led to this news story, which then up to here. And then next thing you know, my time for prayer went like this. And so I replaced that and said, no, I'm going to do the best thing first. And so first thing in the morning now, I spend 15 minutes or so just kicking off my morning, focusing on the most important thing. Right now, I'm using the Psalms. And using one psalm a day and allowing it to guide my prayer life. For instance, like this. Let's look at Psalm 91. Just two verses of it. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust in him. And just those two verses alone. I mean, there's a lot more after it, but just those two verses. It helps me to remember that God is the Almighty God. And as I put my faith and my trust in him, he's my refuge. He protects me. And so I pray over my family and saying, God, protect my family when I can't be there with them. And God, may you protect me when there are things in life that Satan has tried to lead me into. Protect me, God. Be my refuge. Be my fortress. Now, that's just what I'm doing right now. Again, don't do what I do because I don't do this all the time. There are some times that I might use something like this morning. We sang a great song, and I might use some words of a song that we sing here on a Sunday morning like Reckless Love. Just imagine using this to spark your prayer life. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so good to me, God. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life into me. You have been so kind to me. And if I'm using this, then I just start off my morning and saying, God, what are those ways that you have been good to me? And I just start listing all of them and saying, wow, God, I'm so thankful for how good you are to me, how much you love me, how reckless you are with your love and how much you poured over me. Because then imagine going into your day, the crazy day that's in front of you, with that being your focus of the goodness of God that's going to lead you into that day. And oh, by the way, when I'm doing these prayers in the morning, it's in my prayer chair. It's an old rocking chair that I just love. It's my isolated place. My phone is not near me when I'm doing those prayers because I want to focus on the most important. And then I go about my day or my morning, the rest of my morning. I go off and I exercise and I eat some breakfast. And while I'm eating my breakfast, I do what Pastor Mike told us to do last week. I open up my word and I study God's word a little bit. And then after my shower, I usually have about 20 minutes to a half an hour left before Daniel needs to wake up. And I go back to my chair without my phone. And that's when I'm praying for you. I pray for those who are struggling with life, with different things going on in their lives. I pray for what's going on in the world out there. I pray for all kinds of things in life because I see what God has going on, and I just want to bathe it in prayer. And that's not the end of my prayer during the day. You know, sometimes I'm here at the office, and I'm up in my office, and I set my phone aside, and I go for a walk. And I might come down here to the auditorium, might go down to the kids area or maybe into one of the life group rooms. And I pray over what God has going on in each of those spaces throughout the week. And each of those times, I let the distractions behind so I can focus on the most important thing that I can be doing in that moment. You see, God has a gift for each and every one of us. And it's a simple gift of prayer. But it's a simple gift that has profound meaning to us. It allows us, instead of being so consumed with the habits of those notifications, it allows us the habit of regularly connecting to the God who created us. So what will yours be like? How might you set up some boundaries, create maybe some new habits, maybe replace some old habits, so that you can find that isolated place, that quiet place where there are no distractions, just you, just Jesus. That is a blessed life. God, thank you for this gift that you give to us. Thank you, Jesus, for showing us the why of why this is so valuable to us and why we might realize that we are hurting right now, why we are anxious, why we're lost and alone. Jesus, thank you for helping us to see those withered moments in our lives. And God, help us. Help us to realize that even though phones aren't evil, they're not bad, they're great. But how sometimes they can distract us from the best. So Jesus, may you show us the best way. And may we be led by you into a deeper, powerful, more greater relationship with you, Lord God. In your name, amen.